The Cowboys play the Eagles Sunday night. So Sunday morning starting at 11:30, we've got the Packers and the greatness of the Raiders. Only on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
Previously on Bad Radio.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Chris, how are you?
Good, good, good. How you doing? I just want to wish Dan a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah, Dan.
Why? Oh, today?
Yeah.
Today is your birthday?
No. Just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sorry with all the confusion. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
No problem.
Macaroni and cheese, stuff like that. She's a lousy cook, and so. Hey, but she's really smart, okay? She's a smart lady.
Can I ask him, what do you put on the hamburgers when you order them?
No, it's just Big Macs as they are.
Oh, that's it.
And what about, like, on Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that?
Okay, I throw extras in the refrigerator, or, like I say, I keep a stock in the freezer usually. In case we have, like, Wisconsin, we got a lot of crappy weather, so I got to worry about snowstorms.
Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer, another known meat eater from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. So you keep everything written down that you eat.
In fact, Groobs, am I not correct that Kenseth was not only not near the top in wins, he wasn't near the top in money or anything else from the year. And he still was the, quote, champion driver of the year.
Exactly. I mean,
it just... Anyway, it left a strange taste in everyone's mouth.
Yeah, but Elton said that Elton said the signal's back.
Oh, yeah, it is back now. FM is back.
Everybody check their radio right now. What did the tornado look like? Billy, check.
Frank, do not call Elton a liar. Yeah, Elton's been a friend of mine.
I like Elton. FM is back.
Go ahead, Brad. Hold on, Brad. Brad has the floor right now.
Can we get a plaque made of this historic event?
A plaque?
A plaque?
Yeah. It's a good plan. To commemorate.
What do you guys?
I can confirm AM and FM are working.
We're helping you up with the show and everything. I think we deserve something.
Hey, how's the weather where you are?
In my Honda, it's pretty good.
Again, with the Honda.
This guy work for Honda?
What's the model year on that bad boy?
I love my Accord. I've got three of them.
Oh, okay.
I love them.
All right. What? That seems really
feels
weird.
Redundant.
Stop buying Accords.
Got some breaking news for you tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals, of course, you know, are up for the World Series tonight. New champs, apparently, beat the Detroit Tigers. Our expert on all this, of course, is going to join us right now, Dale Hansen. It's a big win tonight for the folks in St. Louis.
I have no idea, John. Why don't you go ahead and do it?
Take a short break. We'll be right back to sports.
And high school football highlights. Stay with us.
Okay, Bob. Dan, your 15 minutes of fame is about to become two.
Hi, this is Bruce Gilbert, program director of The Ticket, and I never listen to Bob and Dan, even though I get paid to.
All right.
Right about now, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket presents the Bob and Dan Radio Show.
Indeed.
Today, after 5,000 shows, will Bob and Dan get a divorce over Dan using Norm's tip sheet and picks with friends? Will Dan microwave his fish at the Alamo Draft House and ruin the noon hour for P1s like he does for us? And 20 years of pop code trick jokes finally make sense. And also, what is mine? Julie Dobbs, Jacob Gambit, R.I.P. Donovan, and now two guys who, no matter how many people show up, we will lie and say there were thousands outside who couldn't get in honor of our King's visit. It's Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
Make it
Make it big.
Fucking bad, dude.
Hell yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah, it is. October 17th, 2019. It's the Bob and Dan Radio Show live today from the Alamo Drafthouse in Las Colinas for this episode 5000.
Shorty!
Yeah. All right. Here we are. We finally made it. I don't know what we made it to, but look at all of the bright and shiny faces and just what a nice crowd out here. Look at that. Look at all of them. Look at all of them, Dan. We're out here.
I am. I'm surprised.
You know what? Let's be great. That's a great point, Ham.
Why don't you walk up to each one and tell them that?
I should. I should tell everybody that we need to be great today. We don't need to
dap them up.
Rest on laurels. This is a time to be great. Or we don't have to be great, Ham.
You ruined everything.
We don't have to be great. Look who's out here, Dan. We got Julie.
Yes.
You guys like to see Julie live?
Hey, this is so cool.
She doesn't play very many live shows.
I do not.
But this is a great opportunity.
It's like they're watching a movie, but the movie is us. Right?
Well, yes.
It's weird.
Right.
Do you guys ever have dreams?
I do, actually. Thanks for asking. So last night...
Movies.
No.
That are us.
I won't tell you.
I was disappointed you weren't at the theater last night. We were here last night, this very theater.
I slept here.
And I finally learned how to do the popcorn trick, and there's no Julie.
I am so excited for this.
Although it's difficult to do here, they give you a big metal bowl of popcorn.
That was just for you.
Oh, just because they wanted to have me avoid?
Right.
Yeah, I should have thought that through better as I was sitting right next to you as well.
When you reached
the movie, and he was offering to share, and I didn't think anything.
Well, he kept reaching in there and rooting around.
It was a real surprise. So we have Julie.
Hi.
Yay.
We have over there is David Mino, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Look at that.
For right now.
Are we going to have a pale off?
No, is someone here with less pigmentation than David Mino?
There are a lot of white people here. Probably the second most amount of white people in one place.
Hey-o!
In the Metroplex today.
Whoa!
But I'm about as pale as it gets.
Damn, he's heating up. Look at this.
I don't have drops to play, so I've got to have something. That's all I've got for today.
White people are being pulled in many directions today.
That's right.
And we're happy you chose us.
Being a cumulus station... you know, we have good ideas and plans, but sometimes the equipment doesn't quite work. And from what we understand, the equipment worked yesterday. That should be on our logo, right?
It was better this morning.
It was better this morning.
Mino can't play drops from here, so Ham will be playing the part of Mino back at the station. And Mino will just be here. Maybe you know what you could do, Mino? You could be the guy that cuts pieces of cake and hands them out because Eatsies has brought us a Show 5000 cake.
Wow.
I do sometimes eat cake for breakfast.
And if you could, Mino, don't do what you usually do with cake. I don't know if Ham can find that drop as quick as you usually do.
Sorry, Ham.
That dirty,
When all else fails, play.
Or maybe somebody will request the piece of cake that you cut for me. Could you do that? Could you christen it?
Okay.
So anyway, thanks to Eatsies. And if anybody wants a piece of cake, and if you just woke up, TC, what would this be? Of course, this would be cake for breakfast. come on down. We'll do it during the breaks, right? Not to so Mino can have time to cut your cake and you know, eat it and stuff. Usually we get one of those cakes. We eat four pieces of it, and then it sits in the studio for 3 weeks until we take it to the break room.
I bet you.
And then all the salespeople eat it.
That's an immaculate cake right there.
Yeah, we should leave a floor cake here, just like we do at work. Just
set it on the floor when we're done.
Come back and check on it every couple of weeks, see how floor cake's doing. And that, of course,
there it is. You're fired.
That, of course, the familiar voice of Jake Kemp, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello,
we let him out.
He won America.
He will eat whatever leftover cake there is.
Very
or whatever you don't finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you order, because at the Alamo, of course, you can get a full meal, get real food, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to, Chappie does not have to pack a pork chop.
I'm fairly certain he still would.
But yeah, so if you have some unfinished fries or whatever on your plate,
Here's your man right here.
Look at that. Send it my way. You know, I always say watching a radio show live is probably a big letdown, as we're all just kind of sitting here looking at laptops and talking into a headset. But if you could order food while watching us, I bet you it really improves.
How about adult beverages?
And how about a nice comfy chair?
I saw a couple dudes with beers already. Oh, look at that. Jeez, not a couple.
Look at that.
Like half this place is getting lit.
I'd be so proud. And that guy was in here drinking last night.
Really?
He slept here, too.
He's back.
Damn. That's awesome.
Impressive.
That's awesome. Man, look at this place. Love it.
We're also cleaning out the T-shirt closet. So you're lucky if you got a nice moron dog T-shirt. We had plenty of those left over, TC.
No, it was like a Mavs playoff game.
Those Show 5000 shirts are dope.
Yeah,
Good job on those.
Our T-shirt guy, Raymond.
I don't think I've seen the 5,000 one.
I'll show you one because Ham asked for one.
Okay.
So I've saved one for him and someone else as well.
I still need a shirt from last night, too. Those were awesome.
We gave the rest of them away.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
tough break.
Well, I'll imagine.
You're never going to wear a shirt with your face on it unless it's like a bad payoff, right?
He can hang it.
So there's the Show 5000 shirt.
Sports store memorabilia.
I think he has some of those for giveaway outside as well. Raymond with E6 Sportswear is out in the lobby. Also out in the lobby here at the Las Colinas Alamo Draft House is like a prize table. And then Bob was cleaning out his closet, so I cleaned a little bit of mine as well and just got some artifacts, some old press passes, whatever, just some bad radio stuff, old calendars maybe. And they're out there at the prize table, and I said to Sky, you know, how are you guys going to give them away? And she said, I don't know, however you want to give them away. And I go, I don't know. I don't care. Just walk out there and grab something.
We should go through the box before we give it all away, unless we already did.
I think we gave it away.
You might actually enjoy it.
We have, the beginning of good ideas.
Yeah. Well, that's why
we enjoyed it on game day.
Right.
Yeah, but we got the promo department, so they could do that.
Yeah.
Right?
No need to take shots at promo.
I'm just saying. I don't want to know how to give them away, because then people are going to be mad, however
there's,
it happens.
Not
I, don't
you.
Want,
there's,
I don't want them to be mad at me.
A Tyler Seguin Regaunt jersey in there.
Damn.
And a Mavs jersey I was given at the first compound, because Donnie Nelson visited.
Hey, Donnie.
Sterminator?
Yeah.
And it was a number 4 Mavs jersey with Sterminator across the back, which I'm sorry. I'm flattered with the nickname, and I'm flattered with the Mavs jersey.
That has to be a bet payoff. You wear your own jersey, your name on the back, your face on the front for a month.
And you got to, go play ball at the rec. Hey, yo.
You got to play.
Sterminator checking in.
Well, you got to play, and you got to have sunglasses on, and you just jack threes from the corner the entire time because you're
ready to be Sterminator.
You're the Sterminator. So, very good.
Thanks to P1 Mark. Apparently, he handed this bag to Julie, and she accepted it before she walked in.
That's
in the parking
wise.
Lot.
Oh, dear.
And, gave us a couple of Happy 5000 Show coffee mugs. Yeah. So, we'll be giving these away at the 6000 Show, right? We'll keep them till then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And this whole...
I like coffee, and I like mugs.
This bag of shirts, I saw this and initially thought, oh, okay, it's like a Bob it's a Bob Long question shirt. Right?
See, I was having a nice day.
However, Bob, you're going to have a nice day. This is not. This is the Jerry Jones quote about if you were a driver of a car and you had a wreck and your hand was almost severed but you didn't understand your anatomy and you look down, you're spurting blood, and you open the door and run into the woods and either die of bleeding, death, or shock. The educated man looks down, knows his anatomy, squeezes, knows the best chance to wait for help because he's been here a lot and done that, and I'm squeezing, I'm waiting for help. That's my list for today.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Check anyway.
That. Hey, yo, check the back.
The back. There's more?
What's on the back? Oh, it's the Jason.
Oh, my gosh. That's the best shirt ever.
The Jason Garrett Buddhist monk story, which he's been giving the wrong lesson on for quite a few years.
What a great shirt. Oh, I accept that shirt with great joy.
So I think we can take a couple and then give the rest of them away.
Okay.
Seems like he's got a lot of them.
A shirt with the Buddhist monk story. See, that doesn't hurt my groin nearly as much as my Hunter Pence question.
But that's not on a shirt.
It's on a Muser's pillow, at least. So I got that going for me, which is nice. All right, so we have a big show for you today. At least we're going to kid ourselves into believing we have a big show for you today. Today, will be a show where we don't really cover just a whole lot about the Stars in Columbus last night or which or which Cowboys weren't at practice this morning. We're probably going to ignore just about all of it.
I have a small gift for you before we get to guests.
Good.
Is the iPod cable up?
Probably not.
Just wanted to get somebody
here's
to
the iPod cable.
A nice,
we have to this?
A nice happy 5,000th show here.
It's not going to reach.
I got one.
Look at this. Oh, I thought you were asking for the cable.
Bad radio. Hey, guys. Chris Hansen here of Hansen versus Predators. And to catch a predator, I'm going to need you guys to have a seat because according to my transcripts, I see that the screen names Sports Sturm and Bracket Dan are celebrating their 5,000th show. I remember being a guest on one of those shows, so congratulations. And congratulations for never being a guest on one of my shows. Let's keep it that way. Remember, I'll be watching and listening. Good luck, Bad Radio.
Wow. Chris Hansen.
Did you do that, one of those pay sites?
Dude, you could waste so much money on there.
You just give him whatever and he reads
2 o'clock
it?
In the morning, Chris Hansen's filming himself in his bathroom.
You got a video of that?
Yeah. And we thought we were going to be able to play him, but yeah.
That's awesome.
I have a more than one, but that's the one I definitely wanted to get into.
To catch a predator's own. Chris Hansen.
Didn't he get in some kind of hot water?
Yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
But not with.
But it wasn't Kid Diddlin, so
yeah.
He's still scoreboarding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I love it.
No, you don't. It's a weird.
I'm against that.
Okay.
That's what we build our foundation on for 5,000 shows.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Jake. That means a lot. All right. So let's proceed with the plan of the day.
Yeah, we have lots of guests.
We hope.
We don't usually. The one wild card guest is, oddly enough, Mike Reiner, who was here last night at this very place.
So he knows how to get here.
Right. And we were walking to the parking lot together. We in fact took an elevator ride together, and as I got off on my floor, I said, okay, see you tomorrow here at 12:50. He's like, looked at me as if he had never heard that before. He's like, 12:50? I said, yeah, I'll be there. And then I think Jake has expressed some concern over some text this morning on him not understanding that he was going to be. But yeah. I think he'll be here, right?
I think he will, but I texted him this morning to confirm, and he's like, where?
Oh, no.
What time?
But Mike Reiner is like our feature guest.
Yeah. This thing can't happen without Mike.
No offense to any of the other guests, but did you start the ticket? I don't think you did.
Very few people did. Okay, well, that's awesome. And look at this. So we have a studio audience, and all we need is the flashing applause or applesauce sign, and that can really make this thing happen coming back from break. So that's exciting. Maybe get the wave going if you guys feel extra crazy. I don't know. There's a couple Baker Mayfield jerseys here. I can't imagine the Browns Pro Shop has ever sold more jerseys than they did for like that 1 month where the Browns were a dynasty this year. So that is.
Did you see the shirt that Raymond made me? Our T-shirt guy.
Wow, that's Jay Moore. It's a Jay Moore quote.
Nope.
Didn't he say that?
That's Rick Carlisle. Yeah, from talking about Dan Parkin and
I thought Jay Moore said something just like that though when we were having our small confrontation. But you're right, that is a Rick Carlisle quote.
No, Jay Moore knew it was supposed to be a comedy show. He just knew you guys weren't playing along.
We've had some fun, haven't we? All right, let's get the show started. It's 12:28. Very, very special guest coming up next, where we probably discuss something or many things that happened in the first 5,000 shows. And that's live from the Alamo Draft House in Las Colinas, next on The Ticket.
Text green to 22126 for a chance to win tickets to see the Mean Green of North Texas square off against Middle Tennessee this Saturday at beautiful Apogee Stadium in Denton. Get your tickets now at 940-565-2527 or go to meangreentickets.com. Get a chance to see UNT play a little football, Bob.
Awesome. Crowd loved it. Live.
Lighters up.
I don't know what you're talking about. So it's our show 5,000 where we just celebrate us. We look at us and we highlight ourselves.
We will throw ourselves a party through the years, won't we?
Yeah, why not? Right? Have some cake.
I mean, we're at least the fourth show on the station to get to 5,000 probably, right?
Third. Yeah, but let's not self-deprecate in that way, right? We're the only show ever to actually count them.
Well, we're the only ones narcissistic enough to actually count them.
We count and record our shows, and it's just a weird thing here at the Ticket. We try to do things differently.
I believe the cliche is, to the narcissists go the spoils.
Okay.
it's a biblical text.
I believe it is, yeah.
So we are doing a live show out here at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema in Las Colinas. You can come out and join us today if you would like. We appreciate everybody who's already here. Tons of things that we're giving away, including cake for breakfast, thanks to Eatsies. Right now, let's start welcoming guests. We're going to have guests throughout the show who are important to us. And our first guest, let's see, he is well known for teaching his bird to sing the Aggie fight song while his wife is in the bathroom. Also known for, among other things, destroying a small village in the Middle East. Let's prove that.
Yeah, bitches!
That was beautiful.
He is...
Hell yeah!
The longest tenured producer of our show, Tom Flakeboy Gribble, coming on up to our little stage here.
Yeah,
that's right.
Look, there he is. He's walking on out.
Salute, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Tom. Salute, Tommy. Kind of a,
he needs the coffee.
Say hello
bar
to the panel.
Yes, yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
well, I think he set his own big gulp here.
And it's got nothing but ice in it.
Boy, that.
He's an ice chewer.
Something's never changed.
Still chewing ice.
Oh, love ice.
You don't get that body without chewing ice.
Hi, Tom.
It is great to be here, gentlemen.
You don't get that body without getting divorced and chewing ice. Because
that's the truth.
I remember the post divorce Tom. Totally different. Two totally different people.
Good times. Remember that well.
Yeah. Great times, Tom.
Well, Tom, we're here. 5,000 shows. We appreciate you coming out to see us.
It's my honor. I wouldn't miss this.
We've really enjoyed the last couple years of Scoops Callahan coming back to life.
Thank you.
We enjoy seeing you, but we can't talk about you without thinking of all of the good times and all of the odd times and all the good fights and all of the awkward
fighting at all. Maybe you and Bob off the air.
Tom's like my human shield.
Right.
like you go in there first, buddy.
We
gotta take some bullets.
We found some wounds. We grew some scabs.
Have you counseled Jake over the years?
Sure, yeah. I've canceled Jake a few times. He's walked down the hall and his head is slumped. And he's walking in there. He's like, come here, Jake. Let me talk to you.
I know that posture.
Come here, bud. Yeah. I'm very familiar with the stand. Yeah, totally. Did. But you did such a great job. This guy, Jake, give it up for Jake here.
Oh,
Jake,
Tom,
is awesome.
Stop. Yeah.
What a fabulous guy's got a master's degree. Did you guys know that? He's got a master's degree.
What are you
degree,
doing?
Yeah.
And
what
he looks
doing?
Like Prince Oberyn from the Game of Thrones before the mountain crushed his skull.
Right.
Look at the guy.
Wow.
What an upgrade.
No, he's
awesome.
He's an amazing looking producer.
It almost makes it sound like Tom has envisioned someone crushing my skull before.
Yeah. But it's great to get a guy in here that's real mild mannered and doesn't want to fight every day.
That's right.
That's why. So,
man, everybody should have had to test their tea during their time on our show.
They should have, yeah.
We've always been very teed up.
So there's a cool article. Actually, Saad wrote an article about our show 5000, so thanks to him with The Athletic for doing that, too. But he wrote one about you, like, a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyed that very much, only because he asked me about it, too, interviewed me a bit about it, just a 1920s reporter guy. Which I'm not sure what I consider your best bit ever, because I think Gabby Urinator takes so much balls, but also that doesn't get your peers mad at you. You know, no one really cares in the media that you're doing Gabby Urinator.
Gabby Urinator just gets an entire stadium and arena full of fans and security and police mad at you.
Right, right. Yes. No, you've been kicked out. You've been almost arrested.
Almost been punched, yes.
Which puts you more in harm's way, would you say? I think we were discussing this the
far.
Other day.
Oh, by far. Gabby Urinator, by far.
That's why I prefer hard it.
In fact, there was a time where it almost died because in San Jose, on a Stars road trip, I almost got punched in the face by a fan. And I said, I'm not doing the bit anymore unless somebody comes in with me and kind of watches my back. And Dan stepped up. He was my...
I was excited to walk into
a men's bathroom.
He was my bodyguard. When guys are... have their wiener.
Do you think everyone is super familiar with the concept of this? Like, do we need to reset, or was
I don't think 5, 000,
so F it.
I don't know. Let me ask Jason. Do you know what Gabby Urinator is? Sure, you do, right? Yeah, so...
It's not the guy to ask.
No, that's right. He's the guy most familiar with everything. Gabby Urinator is... So we would go on Stars road trips every year, and we still do. Or we did it in Lambeau Field when we went to cover the Cowboys. Tom pretends that he is with the opposition's radio network and that they're going to throw it down to him between periods to do some fan interviews. That doesn't seem too out there.
I'm a rookie member of the broadcast crew. Where are the fans? Well, I know where they are.
There's a line of fans right here. What if I walk down this line? Down the line.
And the acoustics in the restroom are terrific.
Yes. Walk down the line literally while they are at the urinal. And
how did that start?
I'm surprised you never got your leg peed on when someone turned to
talk. It started at Texas Tech.
Why do I think Texas Tech and
we
Texas,
did a road
right?
trip at Texas Tech, yeah.
And the famous Wes Welker's going to play in the NFL game.
Right.
And the famous Chris Sims trip.
And I just said, what the hell?
Oh, when you laid your jacket over a puddle so Chris Sims wouldn't step on it on his way into, what did they see?
That's eight a mile. Lie. That's a total lie. Yeah.
They saw 8 Mile. Didn't we joke that they saw...
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
Partly because they talked about that.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's like 2002 or 2003.
Right. Just told, what the hell, it's this stupid idea. Let's go ahead and just try it. So walking up to people at the trough.
Jeez, dude.
Let's do it. Let's see what happens.
So they're actually relieving themselves.
They're doing what they do.
As they have a live microphone in front of them. And I was going to say some of them would just go along with it, but almost nobody thinks it's normal to be relieving yourself while being
accosted
by the media.
They're generally drunk.
Generally losing.
Right.
Yeah, because you're facing a Dallas team, right?
Right.
So we're always going in there.
And they follow
ass.
The lead of whoever is the most boisterous in the room. Like, if there's people there that think it's funny or they're, hey, can you believe what's going
Mob
on?
Mob mentality. If one guy's pissed and throwing F-bombs at you, the whole crowd tends to start getting pissed.
They all turn
that guy's
on.
Right.
In Calgary, there were fans that grabbed me and pulled my jacket off and then pulled me out of the restroom.
Oh, he worked in jacket off. Yeah, way to go.
What to
do. He's
he hadn't been gone that long.
He's
crowd loves it.
He's just natural.
I remember Chicago. I want to say the cops got mad at you in Chicago because I was there.
Out of Chicago. Yep.
I remember Pittsburgh because that I think was Skolip Dip. I think
so
that's
nervous in Pittsburgh. Yes,
and he had like a wire that went to nowhere. He just tucked it in.
It
his
went
pocket.
Into my pocket. Yeah,
he had a headset.
In fact, where did somebody follow the wire? Was that Chicago? He thought they were like finding like a bug on a guy like in a cop movie. Like they found out you were wired, but they followed your thing, and he told his buddies,
right. It's fake.
It's just going into his jacket. He's not really broadcasting.
Right.
So, and you never did that bit before, like with Craddock, right?
No. Mm-mm.
You were on the Kid Craddock show for many years, and that's why.
The bumper dumper probably was related in some way.
The bumper dumper, yes, that was a Craddock invention. Me duct taped to a truck tail hitch with the porta potty, basically a toilet seat as we drove down the tollway.
Was it? Yeah. And I'm not playing.
I'm not lying.
I want to play 1920s reporter guy here, but was it like our first month together, or definitely first year? That you went out to a driving range and Bob hit golf balls at you.
It was pretty early on. It
you
was
that?
It was definitely within the first year and a half, yeah. It gave me a concussion, too.
You wore like a helmet.
I wore a hockey helmet and I had a trash can.
A metal trash can. Yeah.
And I yelled insults and I ran across it. But he teed it up now from 20 feet away.
Well, I didn't think I could hit him, but
it's so FM whack.
Why did that happen? Like, did you lose a bet or?
No, I think I just.
I think it was just like, hey,
we're just doing a show out there, and I said, well, what the hell? Let's do this. Since I'm an Eagles fan, let's go ahead and do this. It was in Eagles Cowboys week, I think.
How bizarre. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
And that's why I enjoy it so much. Okay, so Scoops Callahan is now world famous, and he's we're glad he has a new lease on life. We're glad that the sports world is now rediscovering all the things from the past. In fact, was the highlight of your weekend, Dan? You know,
and helped you cope with the Jets beating the Cowboys, the fact that Phil Mickelson addressed Scoops on Twitter?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that he actually remembers all that. Someone actually asked him about it. It's so surreal.
Because he quoted it so well, I don't think it's crazy to say Phil Mickelson at dinner parties shows people that as like one of his go-to, let me make everybody laugh moments. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think that's a big part of his life.
Hey, we're at a theater. Let's show the video.
Well, maybe not a big part
of
his life. Well, okay. I mean, you know, a dinner party part of his life. Sure.
Yeah. Anecdote. Here, want to play Phil Mickelson? So this is the most famous Scoops of all, I think. 1920s reporter guy. Audio, Andrew? Here is Tom with Phil Mickelson after he won a tournament.
He won the Colonial.
He did.
Champ, was the key to winning today's tournament bringing out the old Billy Baru and sinking those putts like a Tommy gun on Valentine's Day?
Why are you yelling? You're a foot from me.
Scoops Callahan from the Ticket here, Phil. Congratulations.
Thank you, Scoops. it was a fun round, and to birdie the last hole to win by one was an awesome feeling. Scoops.
Thank you, champ.
Shot from behind the trees. Oh, now let's get a serious trade.
See, that's right
part of 1920s reporter guy is all the other guys not having time for you, and they need to know about that shot you were trying to get up and down. And
B. Tucker 1013 asked, do you remember the Scoops Callahan interview after winning the Colonial? Phil Mickelson, just Sunday, when he was yelling from 2 feet away? Yes, I do.
That's unbelievable.
And that was alcohol fused.
Very much so. Right? If you got the Colonial doesn't do this anymore, but the 13th hole used to be a party hole. And so people went there, and there's the caddy races that were going on and tons of drinking. And I'm not the biggest golf fan in the world, but I discovered the 13th hole and I camped there.
Right.
And I had a few and I was buzzing hard at the 18th hole at the end when I had to do that.
Hey. Whatever gets you through the interview.
It was great. I had a great time.
The first one you ever did was Gretzky,
of course.
It's
the only one I wasn't nervous
about. Gretzky got mad. I was very happy with the Peyton Manning one because Peyton Manning got mad. Belichick gave you what Belichick gives people.
He smiled and said, next question.
Giving a smile is better than...
That was a win.
The death stare that if you were to dare ask him about Antonio Brown. But here is your latest victim. Of the Green Bay Packers, apparently. This happened just a couple weeks ago.
To all your button men.
Who?
Like all-decade torpedo Laverne Delweg.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Packers 1920s stalwart, Laverne Delweg. NFL all-decade tight end.
Who is it? I don't know what you're talking about. That's a good question, though. What the?
Of course,
that makes him
in good. Better spirits after he wins a game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is Scoops Callahan is praying for.
Okay, so you don't want the death stare.
Well, I feel like Scoops has settled in and speaks a little slower now, too. He's a relaxed veteran reporter at this point.
Not relaxed.
No.
I did try to speak slower, and it kind of killed it. Like, I was not happy with my performance.
Laverne Dillweg. That's
I did
awesome.
My research.
That is awesome.
As a Packers fan, you can appreciate that.
But his grandson actually played Anthony Dillweg, I don't know, in the 90s. And they were like, this is Laverne Dillweg's grandkid. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is. But I had Aaron Rodgers' response as well. I don't know who that is, but okay.
I was thankful that they won because the year before it was Drew Brees. And they did not win. And it was probably Drew Brees' worst game of his career.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. When he threw that, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, to Jordan
Lewis. Yeah, that last drive, they have a chance to win or tie, and he throws an interception, and I threw up a little in my mouth. I literally was like, I can't believe that just happened.
So did the Saints media all get mad at you?
No.
Okay.
Drew took it in stride, and it was all good. So yeah. I was like, oh, man.
Brilliant.
Well, Tom, we've already not done clock over content. No, that's right. We've done content over clock, so now clock has to take over.
As usual.
You understand.
Yeah, I do.
Tom Gribble, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Gribble.
Thank you. Congratulations, guys.
Has
thank
some
you
cake for breakfast. It is 10 awesome. Till 1 on our 5,000 show on the Ticket.
It.
All right, here we are at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema in Las Colinas. I hope this is a good enough location for everyone. They have so many locations. We chose this one, thinking it would be like central and stuff.
Looks like we picked a good location.
This place is great. So you can order food, right? I am about to do so myself.
You know how I know that Mike Soroy's here?
Because he just walked by me and goes, cocktail?
Well, it is afternoon.
Yes.
Has anyone cut the cake yet? I can't see that.
Everybody's waiting for someone to go first.
Mino's just sitting here.
I'll go first during the break.
Mino, you got to break the seal.
All right, so we're having lots of fun out here. It's our show 5000. We have a big lineup of guests, and our next guest is the man who gave final approval for Bob and Dan to do show number one. He actually invented the ticket. And here's the audio that the Texas Radio Hall of Fame also used to introduce him.
Gonna have to pop me up there.
Oh. I can have a threesome with you and another girl you trust. I want to treat you rough, throw you around, spank and slap you. You are my whore.
Mike Reiner.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Yay!
Is he here? Oh, there he is. Look at that.
He's got to make an entrance.
He's at the station.
So is he like the Joker back? He's like kind of getting ready.
All right. Look at this.
How about an onstage hug? We haven't had one of these since...
Does this mean the show's ending again?
Since...
Boy. We've had some...
I don't remember what year that was.
2013, Dan.
Yeah, been a minute.
Hi, yes. Mike.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Jake. Hi, David. Hi, Julie.
Mike Reiner, everybody.
Hey, Mike. Papa Hart.
Hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Without him, there is no us.
Look at this.
Oh, I got drops.
And in my case, possibly literally.
We're just sitting here.
He might be. Oh, he just won for us live.
Oh, that's, he didn't even preview it.
Thank
a lot of
you
times
so
he
much.
Sets us up before he does that.
Mike, thank you for remembering.
What? What did I remember?
To be here. I think that's what Bob
said. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did remember to be here.
Thank you.
I had to be prompted, but I did remember.
Do you remember you were here last night?
Yes.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh, that was fun last night.
All right,
so we're all here. We were watching Diner last night.
I've never seen him so happy.
We were going to we're gonna talk about that in the next segment. But we did want to, since we're all just talking about us and we're real narcissistic and stuff, I did want to ask you about when you first, it feels like when we met you, you were probably going to sign off on whatever because you hated the guy that was before us so much. So the bar was low.
Yeah, the bar was low, and I was not a big fan of him for sure, but...
Yeah.
As I
no, not him.
As I recall, we were pretty much coming to the end of the road. I mean, it was either going to be you guys or we didn't know where we were going next. I don't know if there was a really good backup plan here. So I remember being in there with Bruce and on two different occasions, two different weekends, I think it was. He called and said, look, we got somebody coming in here from out of town. I want you to come down here and get together with him and see what you think.
Yeah, okay. So I remember it on, like, my first trip to the ticket. That must be exactly what you're talking about, which would have been a full year before meeting Dan.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, our meeting, my meeting with him was without you.
Yes.
It was in the meeting room, and he stood in front of a... window which had bright light outside, so he was like silhouetted
just like really... just like my experience in that little 13th floor meeting room.
Yes, I can be really intimidating that way.
I have to tell you, the way they set you up, it was, I don't know who I'm meeting. Like my wife said, well, who, you know, who'd you meet? Well, the Dan Bennett, it does this, and Bruce Gilbert does this, and then I met some other guy who must be their boss or something, because you know, I'm replacing Max Miller. With all due respect to Max and to my 8 to 11 shift, I'm almost amazed that you made the trip down to the station to even entertain who's going to do 8 to 11 at night.
Well,
what small potatoes to you?
Well, no, it really was not, because at that time I was very protective of things.
Okay.
I mean, we were not that well established at that time, and my fingerprints were... Actually, they weren't fingerprints. It was like my fingers were still way into the thing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
They were just prints. And I was very protective of it, and I was going to make sure that, or as sure as I could, that we didn't screw this up. You know, that we didn't make a mess of this thing.
Well, Let me just say, of all the moments in my life where I kind of wish I had a recording, because I don't really remember much about the meeting. The whole trip was a blur. I was so nervous to be in a big city, and I was probably, first of all, trying to figure out who you were, but also trying to figure out what answers are most likely to get me a shot at this thing. And so I probably was falling all over myself. I don't really remember a whole lot about it, except that it happened, and I was super nervous.
Well, what I remember about it is I don't remember too much about your answers, and I really wasn't looking that much for answers. I was looking more for just what kind of vibe do I get off this guy? Uh-huh. Will this guy fit in here? Because we'd been down the road with people who didn't fit.
Right.
You know, we had a gaggle of guys who together were a really nice fit, and I was looking to add on to that, and that was the main thing for me. I wanted to get somebody who fit, and you know, I really didn't much care about how good they were or anything else at that time.
Well, good.
So you knew Sports Sturm for almost a year before I got there.
Yeah.
Were you involved in then evaluating, because he had a, from what I understand, over a dozen like co-hosts roll in to
from
try
the time
out?
From the time Rocco got fired until the time you got hired, I feel like somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 trial shows with people like TV Tim and Falwell and Elf,
the sports princess.
Yeah, wasn't there some national?
It was a girl from Seattle, and I always forget her name. I bet you remember.
Ron and Don.
No, it wasn't Ron and Don. It was, anyway, that was a weird vibe because I kind of felt like the clubhouse wasn't quite ready for
CJ Silas. CJ Silas.
Yes, not the basketball player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a national radio dude, like Arnie Spanier or something?
Arnie Spanier was in the mix.
Arnie Spanier was hovering around everywhere at that time.
Yeah.
He was another guy that I had one of these confabs with.
So did you listen to all those things and have an opinion about who should be paired with the Sturminator?
I listened to some of them. Every now and then I would get an air check for some of them. And you know, at that time, this whole thing was starting to become a little bit more generic, and they all sounded the same, and I really couldn't tell much to distinguish one from the other at that time. So what I did when, by the time it was time to get around to Dan, was I reverted back to the idea of, okay, let's find a fit here. Because we're probably going to wind up with somebody who can come in here and do a show and pull all that off and everything, but we need a fit. And so that's what I was looking for more than anything else.
And that's probably why I thought, man, it's probably going to be Falwell or somebody like that, because the guys like him, but he can argue and so forth. And when I remember after about 10 of these shows, Bruce told me what he was thinking, and he said, man, I really like the guy from Ohio. And at that point, first of all, I would have agreed to whatever he said because I just wanted to do middays. So I wasn't going to be super discriminating, nor was I going to argue with him, for crying out loud. The fact that I'm not in Virginia was all thanks to him, so I was going to agree to anything. But I did not sense from our trial couple hours that there was just a whole lot of magic there. and part of this is because the crew at night was Joe Lecce and Kevin Scott and Psycho Dave, and Kevin and Psycho didn't have opinions on this, but Joe definitely did, and he got in my head that the key to finding anybody is Mike and Greg and George and Craig and Gordon have to like him. And so
he's right about that.
Some guys would try out on bended knee for these guys. They'd be, you know, they knew that, you know, the legends liking them was important. Dan rolled in, and you weren't disrespectful, but you didn't know who any of these guys were. So, okay, let's play.
He was just Dan.
Yeah.
You know, he comes in here and tells you.
He's always been just
Dan.
He's
been here for a while, huh?
So, so as far as the political game of the bended knee, he wasn't doing that.
No, he wasn't doing that.
And I thought, okay, that's probably going to be his death sentence. And it actually worked just the opposite.
And I walked out of there with no opinion on him one way or the other. I couldn't get any kind of vibe off of him. But Bruce called me in there a couple days after that and said, I think I'm going to go with the guy from Ohio. But I want to ask you one last time. What do you think? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't come away from any with any kind of feel for him one way or the other, you know? He probably will work, but then again, he might turn into a lunatic. I don't know, you know? He said, well, how do you think he'll do with Sturm? And I said, Bruce, man, I really don't have any kind of feel for that. If you like him, let's go with him. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
And so we did. And here we are today.
Yeah, I'm happy we just trusted Bruce, because I didn't have any idea.
No, I didn't either. I would like to say that I played a big part in this, but I really didn't.
And I just remember always kind of at least subconsciously elbowing Dan to, dude, come on, man, play along. And
well, I remember you told me I should look at the Tictionary thing and get look, the terms.
You got to learn all the shtick. And
you got to talk like they talk a little bit. And
Dan's like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I thought
it should be organic.
Shouldn't we just do this naturally?
You know.
Hey,
for the record, I was all for me being hired at the time. I was very for that.
Well, we could not have done better.
Absolutely. And
thanks.
I owe a ton to Dan because of his view on life. I absolutely do. I don't say that enough. But I was a mental wreck back then. I'm still a little bit of a mental wreck, but there's nothing more ridiculous than saying he kind of taught me how to be me. But this guy right here, Big Dan. No, seriously.
It's getting weird.
No, but at the time.
Boy, it is getting weird.
You see, Tech just kicked the field goal.
No, but I mean
to win the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
I mean this. I tried to get rid of every 8 to 11 tape so they don't exist anymore from that 10 months doing nights. But if you can find them, and I know some people know where the bodies are buried, but if you can find them, you hear me basically imitating everyone who I had heard on the radio leading up to then and never actually being me. And I think that's pretty important if you're getting into radio, is at some point stop imitating, you know, probably like being a band, Mike. Stop imitating who you like.
Yeah, you got to be you, man.
Just be you.
You got to be you.
And it took me a while here at the Ticketing.
You know, when we started this thing, that was tenet one for me from day one. This time, I was going to be me. I was going to do this my way, and I was going to sink or swim with it. I was going to live or die with it. And you know what? It works for all of us.
I got to be honest. There was only one panic moment. I did want to be here really bad because I heard you guys and couldn't believe it. These guys are measuring boobs at the golf tournament. I thought it was awesome. I'm like, I can't believe this station exists.
We'll do that now. Any volunteers?
But the most nervous I ever got was when Bruce called me with the final. After the tryout, after meeting you, all that kind of stuff, he's called me. I'm in Dayton, in my small little house, and he said, we're going to hire you and all that. He'll send you some paperwork. We're going to send you something so you can give us a bio for the website. And I'm like all fired up. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, well, just standard. You got to take the drug test, and then we'll – I was like, holy, I'm going to lose this job. Because of secondhand smoke. And, boy, that second, I just grabbed a big, giant gallon thing of water and went jogging and did that every day for 2 weeks before I got the job.
You could buy urine out there.
Well, now you tell me. Now you tell me.
All right, let's review a movie, a classic, a masterpiece, if you will. We review Diner with Mike Reiner next. All right, it's 1:21. We're at the Alamo Draft House in Las Colinas. Look at everybody. Look at them all. Very cool. Very cool for y'all to come out here today. Let's see. We have Mike Reiner with us, ladies and gentlemen. You guys remember Mike Reiner from the last segment? You didn't forget who that was. And I hope, Dan, we didn't compromise too much with our trip down memory lane from our exclusive movie review.
As usual.
Which is our
we're gonna go late.
Original way to trick Mike into coming out here with us was last night's big viewing of one of his favorite movies, the 1982 film Diner.
So I almost don't want to talk about the movie as much right here as just to talk about the greatness of Mike Reiner for a moment. Because Diner, it you could really see. I liked it. I enjoyed it, and you could really see how, you know, younger Mike Reiner, this could have influenced you on how to do the ticket. To me, you gave a speech beforehand or talked a little bit about the movie. Your Seinfeld comp was spot on, and I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard Seinfeld reference Diner as an influence of his show, but there's no way he didn't see that movie.
Oh, there is absolutely that, no way whatsoever. And I mentioned the Vanity Fair article, which
I'd
is
like to see now.
It's out there
okay.
for the perusal of any and all hands, but he is interviewed in that thing, and his praise for Diner is just absolutely gushing. I mean, this was a huge influence on not just that show, but his whole worldview.
And as I watched the movie, I kept saying, oh, there's that guy. He's in something I know. I don't know what it is, but I know. Like, after, I got to go check IMDb. All right, so I want to fast forward to after the movie. And we're walking out, and it's me and Mike are walking out together, hand in hand. And Jake
as we always
is out there.
Do.
Jake's out there.
Lovingly.
Firing up a dart. And
ripping a heater.
And he's like, this MF-er, he points at Mike. I can't believe you, dude. And I didn't get this. And I want to know if you did. Do you know where I'm going?
No.
So Jake's like, I can't believe you. He's like, you do a whole training camp bit that I had no idea what it's all about until I see Kevin Bacon in the movie, and you, what a genius, you never reference it. So do you have audio here?
I have Jake? Both of them. Which one do you want to start with?
I want to start
with Mike?
The training camp bit, because yeah. This is the way I learned about it. I heard you doing this bit at training camp. I thought, okay, this is...
It's just one of Mike's off-kilter questions.
It's funny,
questions,
and like, it's weird.
Pretend
it's,
to be lost old man
it's out
talking
there,
to football
but I'm
guy.
Like, I think it's yeah. funny, but I don't really know what he's doing.
Yeah,
but,
and you didn't
guess
know.
It, but he's Mike. So
he never
I,
said.
All right, play the training camp bit.
Where'd you grow up?
New Jersey.
We're in New Jersey.
West New York, in Montclair, New Jersey. So maybe about 25, 30 minutes from New York City, in that area.
Do you ever think there's anything going on out there that we don't know anything about?
Of course. I'm sure there's plenty of things, government or energy, all these different...
This goes on for a minute.
Okay, so then
yeah. he did it to seven or eight
yeah.
players.
Yeah, and so the crazy...
So what's the question?
Do you ever think there's anything going on out there that we don't know anything about?
Which just kind of sounded like something he would say.
Right.
Right. But, I thought it was out there, but it did. It seemed like just Mike being Hammond, pretend I'm an old guy who's just wandering around type right. thing. You know, he's just doing a bit.
Trying to open a DVD.
Well, I always like to come up with something really open-ended for these guys right. at training camp. You can't get much more but, open-ended than that.
But I didn't catch this. Jake caught this during the movie. Let's take you to the movie Diner.
What's your name?
Jane Chisholm, as in the Chisholm Trail.
What f***ing Chisholm Trail?
You ever get the feeling there's something going on we don't know about?
and I see that in this movie, and I turn to Mike. I'm like, are you kidding me? You did this whole bit. You didn't play the original audio. You didn't tell people, I don't know, Corby, what you were doing.
Right.
There was no payoff at all. He just
well, Corby wouldn't get it.
But you could have explained it to him.
Just say it's the diner bit.
He, yeah, wouldn't, right. he wouldn't have liked it. He wouldn't have liked it. There was no way I was going to explain this to him.
Last night when I look over at him, he's like, you get it now, you see? Like, yeah, but it took me watching a 35-year-old movie to understand.
That's great.
So it's, do you ever think there's, because I want to steal it. I want to ask people this.
Yeah, do you ever think there's something going on out there that we don't know anything about?
And you did a whole training camp bit revolved around this line in Diner.
But that's the key. I mean,
it's an obscure line.
If I were to describe the premise that Seinfeld is loosely based, or it's a show about nothing that's loosely based on a movie about nothing, and then it circles to a sports radio station that kind of keeps that same philosophy of doing shows about nothing. It all fits that Mike generally does things purely to amuse himself.
Like you created this station to amuse yourself.
Yes, I did.
Nothing else
amused
you. I
wanted something
you.
To listen to.
Nothing else you listened to amused you.
Right.
And so the only way I can solve this is do it myself.
I love the Colts quiz so much. And I got a little sad about the Colts quiz, though. So if you've never seen Diner, which I imagine most haven't, because I don't run into people that have seen it unless you make a point to go see it because of this.
You all should.
You should, by the way.
It's a film school movie for sure.
It's a very good movie. There's a lot to like about it. But one of the guys is a huge Colts fan, huge football fan. And so that plays the song I really like. And then at his wedding, he gives his bride, his fiance, a Colts quiz that she has to pass or the wedding's off. And it's a very, very deep Colts quiz. And then she barely, I don't want to give it away too much, but she barely hits the threshold. The wedding is in Colts colors. So these are all things that I really relate to.
Yeah. They walk down the aisle to the Colts marching song.
Amazing. Amazing. But I kind of got sad, Mike. The movie was made in 1982 about the Colts. They moved in 83 or 82.
Wait,
They left Baltimore at precisely the time the movie was made?
Just about.
Wow. I that might only affect a sports nerd, but that really bothered me right there. This is a sort of a movie about their love affair with the Colts and gone.
Yeah, the Colts are gone now.
Mike turned to TC and I before the movie and said, like when the opening credits started, and said, I'm getting tingles right now. I was like, damn, it's so cool to see him this happy.
So we can't end the review of this movie before mentioning the fact that this movie is where the popcorn trick originated.
Yes.
I had never seen this movie, but always loved to use that punchline. But now I realize...
So the
popcorn trick, Julie, what it is, okay. What it was, actually, yeah. If you want to know the origin...
Would you like to guess what the popcorn trick is?
Well, no, we know what it is,
so
right?
I'm so excited for this.
Mine
got drops back.
That was a drop.
We kind of have a good idea of what the trick is overall, but I didn't know the origins were that the dude bet his buddies... he was going out with this hot chick that night, and he bet his buddies, I can get her to touch it.
Yeah.
I can get her to touch my wiener.
Yeah, because he was in hock to some tough guys, and he had to come up with some money. And one of the ways he was going to do this, by making this bet with his friends, that he could go out with this hot chick that they were all kind of into, and he could get her to
touch it.
Touch it.
First date, but I bet she'll grab my wiener. And so Practice. While they're all at a movie, he undid the bottom of the box of popcorn and set the popcorn there. Maybe he had to work it up a little bit to get it going. I don't know what he... I'm not a film producer.
The logistics of this boggle the mind.
Because to me, you'd have to get way down there deep if you're going to find that. But maybe he had something more going. So he just kind of sat there, and as she ate her pop, boy, the tension.
Yeah.
As she,
they
grabbing the popcorn, and you're like, oh. And, you know, Kevin Bacon and the other guys
all the
are
looking
watching
down the aisle.
And eventually, of course, she got to it and ran out in disgust after grabbing it. And he somehow sweet talked her into the fact that it wasn't his fault. And she went back. And
then she was just so hot. He was just.
Yeah, he was so hot. He was so horny, so excited. Broke through.
You're so good looking. And then there was a girl on the screen that got it going again. And
right.
So that's my excuse there, Julie.
What do you mean, tell it to HR?
Well, the one time it happened with us, it was very embarrassing. But
sorry, Julie.
Never happened, never will. Sorry, honey.
It's
it's only because of the metal bowls at the Alamo Draft House Center.
Shut you down.
Just
I know.
In case. You never know when rumors can start. Got to nip it at the bud there.
There you go.
Ask me and Mike about that.
Yeah, what else would you do? Of course she's going to deny it. So... So, Mike, thank you.
A-plus, Mike.
Thank you for being out here today. Thanks for doing
Congratulations, boys. Dan is now glad to have you guys along for this ride.
Thanks for not telling Bruce. I got a really bad feeling out of that guy.
Thanks for telling him not to get buffaloed.
I love that bit.
<That's the> main.
Which, at different times, he worked on both of us magically. All right. It is 1:30. It is Sports Radio 13.
To amuse himself.
Just yes. to amuse myself.
To like make us go home and worry for days.
Hitting two kids against one.
And he thought it'd be amusing. It'll pay off.
Wonderful, wonderful. All right. That is Mike Reiner, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you don't necessarily have to worship him, but if you want to, you can.
We do.
And coming up next, more Friends from the Alamo.
The Vestic Group, DFW's premier NetSuite partner, offers modern cloud-based ERP, CRM, and e-commerce solutions for growing companies. If you've caught the NetSuite spots on the ticket and want to know more, you can head over to the Vestic Group in downtown Plano or visit thevested.com. This is usually the hole that we plug the 1:30 news into. We don't have a 1:30 news today. I guess we didn't do a Homer call either. Didn't mention that, but
no,
it's
news.
Kind of a special deal with Show 5000, but we still do have a sponsor.
Raising Cane's up!
Roll your R's.
Everybody
gets
to do
R's.
That.
Can't,
that's right.
Can't do it.
So it's our show number 5,000. Ooh, I didn't prep well for the intros here, but we're at the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema in Las Colinas. It's good times. I hope everybody's having fun. I am having a grand time. I just had some cake for breakfast. I haven't even eaten lunch yet. And that cake is thanks to Eatsies. We have a prize table out front where you can grab some free stuff. We have our T-shirt company, E6 Sportswear, is out front as well.
Yeah.
Selling the ticket gear and such. And we have special guests throughout the show. First up here, let me see what you wrote for me, Jake. You wrote part of this. He is the inventor of the upper decker. And he also enjoys drinking on the air. Let's prove it.
Power hour is gone. We are going to bed. We will talk to you tomorrow, 5:30, Musers, camp out, Wolford Reserve, in the house. Walla.
Ladies, here is the great Donovan.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. Look, here he is, coming down.
Yeah.
Walking in. Oh, there's Donovan Frog. Donovan.
Yeah, hi.
There he is. Oh, looking in.
There he is.
Come on up, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi,
hello,
Donovan.
Alamo Draft House.
Remember when we did a show together?
Yeah, man. You guys remember that?
What you been up to?
Remember how awesome I was?
Yeah, where have you been since then?
I've been on the ticket. I have a show from 10 to noon with Norm
Hedges. Oh, that's really cute.
You guys ever listen to it?
Nice.
Yeah.
Must be really taxing to do a two-hour show.
Oh, my gosh. I go home and take a nap every day. I'm so whipped.
I guess if you were somebody different, I'd say you probably just go golfing after noon. But, of course,
no,
you don't
I wouldn't do that. Of course not.
No.
I'll go to the gym.
No.
Or swim.
Or swimming.
Yeah. Oh, no. Of course not. You guys changed me.
Or go potty in the upper tank of your toilet. You'd never do something like that.
No, I wouldn't.
Why'd you do that?
Because you made me.
That was the worst
Bob,
thing ever.
It's Bob's fault.
I never endorsed that.
It's Bob's fault.
How
if
dare you
wouldn't have brought that audio to the airwaves, it would have never happened. So it's all on you, bro.
Well, I'm honored that was in some way traced back to my DVR.
As soon as I sat down, I said your name, and it just boop.
Jeez.
That'd be lunchtime.
It's way past lunch, man.
We have another guest. If you're out here live, you could see he is learning about the drop third strike as we speak. He invented a certain pit, and he also invented the thing that Donovan stole, drinking on the air.
They carry your JJ.
Die!
You enjoy the arts? There's a really fine line between what a push-up.
What? Jesus.
Every time.
Let's all chant. Snake. 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 Play the music. Snake. Snake.
Snake. Snake.
Yay! Corby Davidson.
Corby.
You need a headset.
He's got a...
It's Corby Davidson from the
ticket. You want to use that or you want to use a headset? Use Mino's headset.
I'll go get a drink. Here. Thank you. Here, Julie.
You're not allowed to get a drink, Jake. Jake is looking for excuses to go get a drink.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Happy anniversary?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
You think we thought through our set enough?
No.
That's okay. That's okay. Hi, Corby. Hi,
fellas.
Donovan. All right. Bring the big man out.
Actually, Jubb, we're doing Picks with Friends in the next segment. But Jubb had a last
here
minute...
He is.
He had a day one exemption.
Here's our cardboard cutout of George.
That's all right.
Wouldn't that be awesome if we could FaceTime him in?
There's got to be.
Well, we're having enough trouble with this video and the audio and all that.
No, no, I'm not saying we can. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be awesome?
It would be great. Like if he was up there talking.
Yeah. Looking down at us.
On the big screen.
As the big man will.
What are you doing?
What?
Corby found out how to play drops.
I'm you're over there playing drops?
Ruining this entire
segment.
There's
a free drop machine over here that I just found.
Just stop.
All right. Okay.
Prove it.
Well,
oh, we got Tickle Me TC has got that page up.
So I don't know if we have a lot of time for memories and stuff, but I do remember Corby as a early confidant, a guy who had very long hair, like to the middle of his back. Right?
Yeah, I did.
A man who helped me meet Lou Diamond Phillips.
That's right, Bob's hero. I was the conduit. Look,
if
I don't want to weird you out, but this guy is obsessed with you. That's how I introduced. Or so Bob wasn't in the room.
Yeah, so Lou Diamond Phillips was on with Chris and Corby, and I like Young Guns. Sue me. I think it's a good movie. And somehow I went to, hey, is it okay if I go in there and meet Lou Diamond Phillips? And then Corby took advantage of that and built it into, I am Lou Diamond Phillips' biggest fan. And maybe I'm about to die for some reason as well. And it would mean everything if this guy could meet Lou Diamond Phillips. So now he's all braced to meet Superfan.
Yeah. And I was like, look, he's going to be really nervous and sweating. And he's losing his hair, as you can see. It's just treat the guy with this.
He's losing his hair. But it would mean a lot to meet you. And, that's Lou Diamond. Boy, you guys, as I recall that first year, it was just one guest after another on that show because we got so much from Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
And Mini-Me.
Yes. I don't know how all that happened. I was a great producer.
All that year one bad radio, we watched the fact that the Chris and Corby show had amazing guests.
Everyone you booked ended up in rehab, bro.
I know. I want to
play you
stayed out.
A favorite Corby moment, too. This is when we had booked, I don't know why, but, you know, they offered Evel Knievel was going to be in town or something. So we booked him for a phoner to help promote his event. And this is what happened.
Evel, are you there?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, so apparently something had happened the first time, right?
Okay.
The phone line dropped out or something.
I'll tell you exactly how it went down. So you guys have Evel Knievel on. You're talking with him, all right? And all of a sudden the phone line cuts out. Okay, so I'm sitting out away from the studio in our like little office area, our little bullpen area at the old studio, and what we're listening to whatever's going on over the air through the overhead speakers. So I hear that, and it's in real time, there's no delay. So I hear that Evel Knievel had cut out. So I was like, I wonder if I just call the guest line and say, hey, sorry, but yeah, I'm Evel and I'm back.
No regard for the fact that you're now tying up the actual guest line.
Yeah. So when he calls in, it'll be a busy signal.
So immediately, I mean, and when a guest does.
But back then, it was prank.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
It felt like it was just a zone of pranks all the time.
Which is amazing because I.
Shut up, Jake.
I could not have been more gullible here. And within 1/10 of a second now. With the benefit of hindsight, it's clearly
I know. Well, and so Rick Arnett, the producer at the time, answers the phone, and he was like, Evel? Like, he didn't even say the ticket. He goes, Evel? I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, thank God. Hang on, man. One second.
All right, here we go.
And I had nothing.
Are you there?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Did we hang up on you or something?
Yeah, somebody did.
All right. Well, very nice to have you on our show. I'm Bob, and this is Dan here, and we're both...
What's up?
Both big fans of yours. Now, I guess the first thing we have to start with is what you've been up to here this last
good
couple
question.
Of decades. You look like you're doing a little enterprising.
Hey, can you hang on?
At this point, I'm laughing.
Yes. Can you hang on a sec?
Sure.
Yeah, who is this?
Is this Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's Corby. What's up?
And Rick immediately slams the phone down, hangs up.
Like, he didn't even leave open the possibility
why is he filling up the guest line?
He's not even taken into account.
Why are you that much of an idiot?
It could be a different Evel.
I think he walked in there.
Corby Knievel.
He answered the phone.
It's a great Dan laugh right there.
Oh, boy.
Boy, you did have nothing, right?
No, I did. I didn't have any. What have you been up to the last three decades?
Well, you know.
I don't know.
Could you hold on?
Eating a lot of food.
Been
Texas.
Riding a motorcycle. Riding a motorcycle and stuff. That's beautiful. Donnie?
Huh?
Yeah.
Do you want to pick some games?
Yeah.
Sure.
Are you here to pick games?
I am here to pick games.
Did you get some food?
And just to shake every P1's hand, because that's what
I do. That's
He's
a bluff.
Kiss all the girls and kiss all the guys. Yeah.
Hey, I thought you were married. Yeah. Don't kiss that girl.
Hater.
I know. Come on, P1s. Be cool.
Yeah.
Be cool.
What if I'm trying to?
Yeah. Right. All right. It's 10 till 2. Let's pick games with friends.
Yeah.
Next.
Nailed it.
So I always have this liner up next to me that I read in the when I'm in my ticker room, and I don't have it, so I don't remember the line, so every time I say something different.
Did you just make something up?
Just say the ticket.
Okay. Thanks, Corby.
So you didn't?
Passive-aggressive.
Julie's had it with us already.
Isn't it fun to be out in a remote?
You know, there's a lot of kinks we're working through, but I think it's going pretty well.
You know what? Have some wine.
Okay.
Seriously. Alamo Draft House has great wine.
If rosé all day, wine maybe. In my face, I would not say no.
There you go.
Well,
get that woman some wine.
That's a request.
Look at all those people jumping up to get me wine.
So we're at the Alamo Draft House Cinema in Las Colinas. There's still a bunch of seats. Like, so if you come in and you just want to hang out for a few minutes, maybe get something to eat, maybe buy Julie a glass of wine.
Maybe go to the range.
Trump pregame show.
Come on out here. Yeah. Are you going?
Hell yeah.
It looks like madness down there already.
Are you guys out today, Corby?
Yeah, we're in Plano.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to go back down there?
Yeah, it's tough.
As far away as you can get.
Because those are my people, and, you know, I want
to... You'll be there, right, Donovan?
I want to see them.
Yeah, sure. Front row.
The Trump rally?
For $500.
Front row.
Ooh, there is a guy down there wearing a suit that looks like bricks the wall.
We saw him this morning.
Yeah.
I saw him yesterday.
All right.
Yeah,
so
leaving.
The first person got outside at 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon.
Hell yeah, brother.
To get in line for this rally. So, you know, they're ripe right now, boy.
All right. So we're here to do picks with friends. Not up here on stage with us. We need to welcome in the great George Jub Jub, International Chirp Chirp Dunham. He is on the phone line. He could not be here today, but he is in Dunham Manor.
Jub?
We welcome him with no fanfare at all. Thank you. There you go, George.
Fanfare is for the present.
What about some applause for George Dunham?
Yay!
A live studio on it. Unless you guys don't like George Dunham.
I don't think they do.
And who doesn't like George Dunham?
Hi, George.
Except for Craig and Gordo.
Bad Radio. The Monsters of the Midday, celebrating 5,000.
Oh, George, we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much.
My best early memories of George are you and Bob playing a video game that we had a stand-up video game in our old studios, or outside.
Ooh, NFL Blitz.
And, of course, when Dale Hansen took an hour from us on Fridays, Jub would stick around and we'd go have a little Jub lunch or Jub breakfast. I'm not sure what that was.
Pralines.
Yeah
we go to Herrera's.
It was brunch. That was the best.
It was the best. George, you were an early adopter, and we'll never forget that. I was in
on Bad Radio very early.
Everybody had their...
not as early as Gordo. He bought BobandDan.com.
So. It's true. He was a true believer.
He believed in this more than anyone.
A lot of faith in y'all that you'd be really good and make it. So you just...
George's
bought your website.
George is the only ticket host, and this is exclusive company, to have his son sing a killer song on the original Crow Line many, many, many years ago at a very early age.
That's right.
And basically dedicated to us. And now he's like...
Yes, it was for you. Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
I'm on Bad Radio.
And I forgot I did this, and I apologize for doing it. I forgot until TC reminded me we even did this, but apparently they used to have us... we would fill in for the Musers during Christmas break.
So the musers finally get to sleep in, you know? And apparently in the 6 o'clock hour, I would call your house and tell your young son to go wake up daddy and hand him the phone. And he would, and you'd be all real groggy. Finally got to sleep in, and we'd wake you up at 6 a.m. just to say good morning.
Rooster, yeah.
We played, yeah, the ticket rooster.
We'd play the wacky rooster sound effect.
So, we need to review that audio again. That was cool.
I wanted to officially apologize for that because I don't know if you've noticed in the past 5 years or so, I've changed a lot. I've changed the way I do things a lot.
I have noticed
that's
that,
not
yeah.
me anymore. I would never do that now.
No, you wouldn't do
No.
You would never do something like that.
So we're going to pick games. Do you guys want to do so? Donovan is here. Corby is here. Jake is here. We are here at the Alamo, and there's the standings. That's what we do every week. That's on bobandnan.com, which is owned by Gordon Keith. So you can see how we've been picking games and how we are so far this year. I will give you the standings from first to worst.
Just don't. Look at Corby dominating last week.
What's up? So in first place, as you can see up there, top middle is... who's in first, Bob? Can you believe it? It's Bob.
Hold on. I'm too close to the screen here.
it's you. Oh, it's actually you.
Hey.
A 6-4 week. You won your triple play. That's the key to this whole thing. You have... So it's been 60 games, right? 6 weeks. 10 games per week.
Right.
Out of 60 games, you lead us all with 33 wins. That shows you that it's very difficult to do this thing, Chappie.
Profitable?
33 wins. Donovan is number two with 31 wins.
Oh, a challenge.
So only two guys over 500.
Here comes Donovan.
I thought you guys were sports talk show hosts. Don't you know more about sports than others? I am at 30-30. Very average. That's just the way I am. Fourth is Jubb, who lost this thing last year. He has 25 wins.
Tough week, George. Tough week. 2-8.
I lost triple play. I lost just about everything. Stupid Cowboys.
How's the fun money?
Let's see. We are down. We're only $60 up in fun money.
Okay. George, we really enjoyed the story of you in studio with the post-game show, watching your triple play go up in smoke.
It's such a lovely treat. Now, add on to the fact that Romo's on the call, and it steps it up about 700 degrees. It was so great.
Why didn't we periscope that?
Yeah, you should have webcasted, George.
That was awesome.
Watching the game on cable access. It was tough.
So Jubb in fourth place. He has 25 wins. He's actually closer to sixth place than he is to first. So you still have a chance to lose this bet and have to wear a full football uniform at Super Bowl Media Row or Radio Row and
with
Media
mohawk.
Day. With a mohawk. You've already got a mohawk.
The Cowboys, yeah, but I mean the Cowboys season's about over, so I can grow it out all January.
Okay, so what we need is we need a Cowboys Super Bowl so that he's still in the Jubb Hawk. And
right,
possibly a full
Bob
uniform.
Said, wait a minute. Bob just said Cowboys Super Bowl. That's hilarious.
Well, we're just looking at best case scenarios, George. Don't lose hope.
How quickly you forget a team that totally turns things around.
Yeah, that's true.
If anybody would remember that, it would be you. So you have 25 wins. Next up is Jake with 24 wins. And in the basement. Turn on Jake, please. Just jump around and shake it left and right.
More Jake.
And then Corby, 22 wins. Although you did win your triple play.
First time.
You had a great week.
Hook 'em horns. Hook 'em horns, baby.
First of all, you stole my bit.
Uh-huh. And it worked.
Triple play in the other
worked.
Team. Yeah, I know. It does work. It's wonderful. But then your red-hot week draws you within two of getting out of the basement.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. We're feeling really good about things right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
This thing's far from over.
Oh, no. I know. Oh, what, dude? We got like 8 weeks.
100. Were we only going up to when we go on vacation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now 100 games left, 80 games left?
Yeah.
All right. So let's make some picks. Apparently, we have to pick from first to worst. You have to pick the Cowboy game, and you have to pick your triple play now. Last week, I was pressured into a triple play, and luckily, it worked out. So
barely.
I was happy
but
to do
did.
So. That's right. A front door cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first, do you guys remember who's in first place?
It's Bob. It's still Bob.
Oh.
Hey, you want to back up and go to the back row and look at the screen? See who's
you know
in
what?
First place?
Yeah, if up there, I can see the standings a little bit better. No, I would like to start by picking the Dallas Cowboys at home to win. I'm not positive they're actually going to, but it's just no fun to bet the Eagles when the Cowboys play the Eagles. So let's go with the Cowboys. But then our triple play, we're going to take a real walk on the wild side here. We're going to use recency bias, and we're going to ignore 6 Super Bowl wins in the last 15 years, and we're taking the Jets plus 9.5 on Monday Night Football.
Over the Patriots?
Over the Patriots.
I'm an idiot.
Jets plus 9.5. Remember where you heard it here first and get that college money. It's a boon. It's a boon. Put it all in on the Jets.
How are those Patriots wide receivers? What do we know? Give me an injury report.
Everything's fine.
Do you have a why don't you get the wireless?
Bob claims they're the worst offense in the history of the league.
Everything's fine. You should go against me. 6-point game. Six win game.
I'm not worried about you.
I have another triple play. But
are you thinking about it?
Of course he is.
Do it.
I knew I could bait him.
You got to do it, dude.
Well, you are a master at that, Bob.
I got it.
Get him.
Thank you, Donovan.
I got it.
Thank you for following me throughout the years.
That's right.
Oh, wait. I'm not next, though. I got a moment to think. Maybe Donovan wants to go up against you.
Get him, Donovan.
Well, go ahead.
Take him down.
Donovan,
I would like to acknowledge the only W by Cowboys and Jets is by my name, and you guys laughed at me when I picked the Jets last week.
That's right.
Prove it.
Okay. I'm going to take the Cowboys this week. I think they're going to bounce back, and I think they're going to win big, as a matter of fact. But my triple play, and we're going to get it over with tonight.
Oh. Man, I wanted to do that.
Give me Louisiana Lafayette over Arkansas State.
Okay,
they can't hold them, man. Arkansas State has zero chance. 6.5-point favorite for ULALA. Book it and bank it. Ew.
Is that even on television?
Hell no. It's not even on closed circuit.
All right, well, I do have a triple play all picked out. I thought about it. I really thought I would like to do that. But you are a master baiter, Bob. You have baited me into it. I will. I'm going to take the Eagles. Give me Philly.
Cowboys are triple play.
Cowboys are a mess. That's a single play.
Oh,
but my triple play. I've done hours of research on this game. Actually, I just heard about it 2 minutes ago and decided. Give me my Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yes!
That's right.
This is a game for first place, right?
Yeah.
That could swing this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, you believe in momentum. That might take me right to the end of the season.
Very well could.
So give me my Patriots against Bob's Jets.
Triple versus triple.
Fourth place.
Jets. What's wrong with you?
You triple played Sam Darnold.
AIDS boy.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Poor mono.
AIDS boy.
Yeah.
I don't think his name is AIDS boy.
Either way, it's the same disease.
All right, Jupp.
Not a bad trademark.
It's mono.
Well, unlike Donovan, I've been to Jonesboro, Arkansas. I know they're the Red Wolves.
Do it.
And I know that two of their losses have come to SMU and to Georgia.
Do it.
And I think they will cover tonight at home. So give me Arkansas State as my
Yeah.
What a huge game tonight in Arkansas. This is awesome.
Yeah. I love this bit. Let's see if the fifth and sixth place guys follow suit. Jake, you're in fifth.
Well, he has to beat the Cowboy game.
I hope the Cowboys.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jupp.
I'll take 3 points. Anybody who plays the Cowboys, give me the Beagles.
Yep.
Okay. So we're not doing the bit of triple playing the Cowboys until the season's over. That lasted you a week.
Yeah. That's right. The end of the season with me. Yeah.
1 week.
Yeah. All right, the ticket for Ed.
Yeah, that's right.
I want extra juice on rooting for the Cowboys to lose every single game for the rest of the year, so I'm going to triple play the Eagles.
Whoa!
I hope they lose by 50, and I hope it doesn't stop there. Just open it up, let it bleed out, and
this
die.
This doesn't sound like a Cowboys postgame
show. Just let it
host.
Die. It's over.
To what end?
Look at him. He's
just
so
let it go.
Sad.
I've never seen him.
Let
like
it go.
This.
It's over.
God.
Trying to get Garrett out?
What a quitter
yeah,
you
of
are.
Of course I'm trying to get Garrett out. We're all trying to get Garrett out. Not the only me. Way to do that is
I'm
if they...
Hey, I like don't, it. Don't I'm, jump on that bandwagon later.
4-12, 5-11 might get it done. It starts with a 34-13 ass drubbing Sunday night.
Well, Corby, matter. Ball's in your court.
Corby.
Believe in
the No.
You have to do it.
Hey, back pocket.
No.
Gosh.
I will be taking the EAGLES Eagles.
I love it.
I'm not triple playing this, though.
Do you think we swing from one direction?
Yes, you do. You like to ride at the fair, just going back and forth. You're happy, then you're mad.
I'm an emotional person.
I love them. I hate them.
But my triple play, let's just say things worked out pretty well in the Cotton Bowl last week. And this week down in DKR, for the third time, there will be a triple play involving the University of Kansas. I will take my Longhorns, 21.5, coming off the big loss, to kick their ass.
Well.
They are so ashamed of you of throwing up the Hook'em Horns. What are you doing?
You're a bunch of pansy asses. I don't care.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Well, there you go. Another week of Picks with Friends. George, thank you for your time and
big
for your
game
service.
You la la, let's go, baby.
Yes.
So who do you have? George has
Arkansas State.
Okay.
And the losers. George has the losers.
George is getting 6.5.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Well,
that just made that game somewhat interesting. And thank you, George. Corby and Donovan, thank you so much for being out here. Hope we didn't mess you up too much, Corby.
No, I just got to go to Plano. It's no big deal.
What a jerk.
But congrats to you guys.
Thank you.
This is about you guys.
Thank you. All right, so there you go. It's 2:13 at Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Even more Friends next on The Ticket.
This is...
We back?
You are.
It's 2:20. It is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We're at episode 5,000. Look at all these fine humans who have joined us today. Thank you so much. Thanks to the Alamo Draft House, of course, for hosting our little party. And for all who have attended it and all of our ticket amigos who have been out here and so forth. And Dan, we have even more.
That's right. Let's introduce a couple more guests.
Okay.
We'll get them up here and we'll talk and do stuff. You may know him from such bits as the $20 tub of pasta. Or hog court. Or threatening to sue the Soroy brothers after this happened on the air.
I'm TC, Verlana McClain status, next.
Got the tease in, though.
He did end up getting the tease in. Ladies and gentlemen, TC Fleming.
Yeah!
Got some joggers on.
There he is. Oh, he's got the NFL on Fox jacket.
What do you mean?
He's a walking Hall of Fame, my hero.
Was that given to you?
More or less.
I don't know the story behind
it. I figure whenever Troy left it in his office, he meant that it was for me.
Oh, my. All right.
Love it. This is wonderful.
How's the new baby?
She's great. She loves the show.
How's running the mayor's office?
That didn't go as well as we were hoping.
Okay, well. I was all for you.
You know, if Donovan hadn't been working so hard against us, who knows what we could have accomplished.
That's true.
But I got you a gift.
Oh. Shall we open it, like, on the air?
Yeah, it's for the show.
All right. Okay, you're here to help the show?
Yeah.
Do you like the story of the $20 tub of pasta?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. TC was once our intern, probably the best intern we've ever had. He walked in for the lunch run. He brought us a ton of menus and said, here's all the places in the area.
He wanted to revamp the lunch run's entire system.
He was disrupting lunch.
He digitized probably 8 years of audio by himself with detailed description. It's amazing what you did, because I've been going through it this year. It's almost like that's not the same guy either that I know now. I don't think you'd do that now.
Fair enough.
But,
you know.
All right, he.
You wouldn't work overtime for no money now. You've changed.
Hey, what a jerk. Oh, looky here, Bob. It's an Aggie jar.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You do it right here?
And we will fill Jake. This up. We're going to pass this around. And then we're going to burn it at the end of the show. Awesome.
Yeah, the show bonfire.
I have never had an Aggie jar. After all these years, you would have thought somebody would have given me an Aggie jar by now.
Well, now they have.
But
thank you, TC. I'm sorry, Sean?
That must have been a misfire on a drop. So we have another guest.
This morning.
Should we bring in another guest? Where is he going to sit?
We should.
Anyway, our next guest.
Not quite sure how this works.
Is my soulmate. Here's some audio.
We have to wait for the vocals. How long do we have to wait?
Arms I feel like I'm have a part.
Long enough. All right,
ladies and gentlemen, Michael Gerber.
Groups.
Yay! You can sit down if you want.
Here, we got
a great yeah, Killer brought you one. Sit next to mine.
Do some stand-up.
Oh, over here. Look at that.
If you want,
I there you go.
Oh.
We got
we
stool.
Can share drops okay. together.
You can do whatever you want.
Look how different
that was,
he dresses
that was
nowadays.
Good bit. I'm a different person, Dan.
You've been wearing the exact same shorts for 15 years.
Oh, that's not Michigan.
Oh, you can see UNT on these shorts.
All right.
Ah, I can see that. Okay.
Nailed it.
You did. You did. you knew the room.
Grooves, of course, left the ticket many years ago, handed the baton to Mino. Handed
never
the baton
really
to you.
Existed.
Handed it to Jake.
To Jake.
Pretty forgetful existence.
That's
so.
Right. No, you're
oh, yeah.
Board op run did make hardly a dent in our memories.
Yeah.
But we knew you weren't going to be there long. Anyway, Groobs, you are now like the music guy for the new Globe Life Park?
Yes.
Stab Chuck Morgan in the back?
No, we're going to be working together. I would never do that to Chuck.
Okay. Yeah,
as long as you can stay scandal-free between here and opening day.
That's the hope. I don't want to get Me Too'd.
Is there any possibility of that?
Not really.
How's the love life going these days?
What?
We know it was rough back in the day, but I'm sure it's...
Oh, it's gotten so much better since then.
It's really turned around.
I've gotten even more sexy.
That's true. That's true.
Playing the music at Stars games hasn't helped?
Apparently not. Hmm. But maybe, again, the Rangers gig. That'll really do it.
Yeah, chicks love baseball.
They really do.
Yeah.
They dig the long ball.
They do. That's what I hear.
So I have some questions about you guys. I guess since it's all about us, I am kind of interested because I know Groobs was I loved Groobs. First of all, when he got hired.
Sorry, TC.
No, I've already said that I love TC. He knows that I love him.
Not as much as Groobs, though.
When he first got hired, though.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't like myself as much as I like Groobs.
I don't either. Really?
It was after Psycho Dave.
Right.
Groobs was like he was Norm's intern at first, as most rich kids are. And then he was like a weekend board op part-time guy, and I didn't know him at all. But they just said, your board op's going to be this guy. And I'm like, it was a part-timer, right? You were only...
Yeah, I've been running the board for a year.
But
was 19.
But I don't think it was a full-time gig for you at first. You were hourly.
They split the shift, so I only did noon to 3.
Only noon to 3, so we got the hourly weekend guy just to come in and run our board. I remember being very upset about it.
I thought y'all kind of wanted that. Like, y'all didn't want to share board ops with the hardline at the time.
We wanted that, but not just some
but you
guy
didn't want
who
me.
Never worked in radio and
right.
Yeah, had no
that's
resume and all that kind of stuff. And
and look at me now.
I didn't know your hilarious bits either. But one of the things that I did love about you, and I do love about you, and what I love about TC, too, you're just yourselves. You don't seem to be outside or influenced by outside things. Like, you go ahead and do your thing, even if it might make some people mad. And I think that kind of makes for good radio over time. But my biggest example of that, and maybe Ham can find it, although maybe I should be teasing ahead, is, of course, making Bob... I don't know how Bob really... I think in retrospect, you like the mayhem bit. But at the time, I felt you were very perturbed by this guy's balls or gumption.
I don't think mad ever happened. I think rattled would be the way to describe.
Or when he played the Hitler drop in front of Dirk.
Again, that was more funny and rattled. I don't know if I've ever really been mad at groups. Do you think I have?
I don't think so. Like, I think we always got along. You understood that we were playing radio, and I was just trying to be funny.
But definitely thrown off, like on.
Oh, I would definitely knock your wheel.
Yeah, rattled for sure. Certainly affected on the air at the time. I don't think Groobs is very difficult to actually be mad at.
But we've had many other fill-in guys, and one of their jobs is I'm not going to make Bob rattled. You know right. what I mean? Like yeah. they're or thinking like I'm only here for
current producers.
Yeah, like I'm not in this game to anger you, but it didn't seem like Groobs cared. Like
the
he was almost doing
you.
The show for the P1s.
I was doing the show for the P1s.
Well, y'all had a meeting about that.
Yeah.
I think Mino has.
Thought we were going to have to do the show for the P1s.
Like we said in the meeting.
Obviously.
Want to listen to some of that audio next or something?
Okay. Yeah.
Is that a good tease?
Yes.
Are we late?
What?
We're always late, yes.
You guys.
I mean, kind of on time if you think about it. If you're always late, then you're on time.
I'll go with that.
Which we are right now. All right. We continue on with our final pre-Why Today Doesn't Suck segment with our friends TC and Groobs next.
You, Darvish, was ready to go wherever anybody told him. Am I wrong, guys?
Well, what are you trying to say? I'm not quite sure the point you're trying to make. I mean, he was going to... The Dodgers were not on his no-trade list.
No, the Dodgers were on his no-trade. Were on his, were not on his no-trade list. Yu Darvish was ready to go to the Dodgers, or I believe other teams.
The Cowboys face their old foe, the hated Eagles, Sunday night at the Stadium. Our Cowboys countdown to kickoff starts at 5. Post-game afterwards. Brought to you by Vaughn Lane Luxury Motor Coaches, Noble Oak Bourbon, and Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Tick.
All right. We couldn't hear that out here. They played the intro. Other teams. We're back. Oh, actually, I might have a liner.
I thought we were just watching Sparky and having fun. Sparky's on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we turn that down? Yeah. Turn it down.
There we go.
Put on some more Lone Star.
We figured out how to make it work.
We could just look at it.
Turn it off.
Young Bob and Sparky. That's right. We figured out how to make it work by 2:30. Jake, could I?
I think we're doing heavyweights jokes over here.
I wanted to tell Jake to stop by Hub Street on 14th Street in Plano today and visit the Hardlines as they prepare for the greatness of Saturday in college football.
Okay.
They'll be giving away a Coors Light Yeti Hopper, so stop by for your chance to win. Coors Light, the official beer of Saturday morning. All right. Well, here we are at Show 5000 with two of our favorite people who have been on our show in the past. It is Groobs.
Who are the least favorite?
It is TC.
Let's do that.
And oddly enough, the least favorite is right behind TC. Oh. So it's right over there. Jake.
Don't take that, Jake. I love you.
Yeah, I know it still require full price on a cup of coffee, but you two were huge parts of the show, and that's why we wanted you on today.
Because we really were.
We really were huge fans of both of you. We absolutely are. And that's not a slight on anyone else. It's merely a fact that for almost no reward at the time and just high regard in our minds, which, like I said, doesn't offer any sort of discount on coffee, we thank the world of both you two clowns. You're awesome.
If this is the time for everyone to get mushy, then...
Probably not.
I'll say that, I mean, I started working on the show when I was in my young 20s, started listening when I was 18 or 19, and I don't know that you want to claim responsibility for this, but I would say a large part of how I am and, you know, who I am and how I act and everything is just kind of observing you guys. And I would say as far as people who have had an influence on, an impact on my life, top five for sure. You rate about as high as the chick from Diner that
thank you.
Mickey Rourke was kept on telling, hey, you're right up there.
Right up
That's
there.
That's how I feel about
right
you guys.
Up there is perfect.
Am I really pretty?
You're right up there.
Tell me again.
You're right up there is the best compliment ever.
Ah, the TC laugh. I just got to saw it live. I remember when you were when you were at my house and my kids laughed. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm seeing it live. They really laugh like that. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen,
having the time of his life.
He really is like this.
Make it big.
You want to hear the Mia Hamm audio? So we're at the
or the Make It Big audio. Which would you rather hear, TC?
And then, oh God!
Make it big.
I'm scared.
This is gonna be so f***ing bad, dude.
That is, of course, Jake
the Make
and TC
audio.
On their awesome podcast, Watching Pimple Popping.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm still saying that I support that podcast and think it's really great.
But, so the premise is that it's not the same if you don't make it big.
Yeah, I don't want like a thumbnail. I want to see the. Yeah. I want to see that.
Make it big.
Okay.
Couldn't even get those words out. You're so excited. Yeah, they have a podcast where they watch videos and then you get to hear them react to it. Pretty much what they do every week. So the SMU Athletic Forum luncheon. We're out there. We're wearing suits. It's always like a deal where. There's like 20 people standing around staring at us because they are the handlers who work for SMU or that person, and they're just standing there because the room's empty besides that at that point, and it's us sitting with Guest, and Guest has already made their money. They've already done their, right, the heavy lifting. They've, mm-hmm. they've done the luncheon. On the way out, on the way to your private plane, let's stop by this radio table. They helped us promote the event. That's what we get for it.
Yeah. And unlike Lou Diamond Phillips, Mia Hamm, looking forward to
you,
it.
You
great regard.
Let us all know this is one of your...
Great regard for Mia Hamm as a youth. And not, you know, she obviously she isn't old enough to be like first Kathy Ireland or anything like that. But, you know, in college...
But she was on the... It seemed like she was on your Mount Rushmore.
In college, frequently I thought about driving to Chapel Hill with a bouquet of flowers if my wife ever got tired of me.
So
or
your
girlfriend at the time.
So I remember where I found this drop. This is also the era. So this is like 2 years after the Joe Namath I Want to Kiss You bit with...
Susie
Colbert on Monday Night Football, because I remember listening back to the interview. So it was like 2 years later, but for some reason, as TC knows, like he will do, just go listen back to some old stuff that's amusing. And during that, so I'm listening to Susie Colbert and Joe Namath, but our segment of it. And in our segment, Bob says, all right, pause it there. That's where Joe Namath is looking at Susie Colbert. And in his head, he's saying, can I stick my tongue down your throat? So the drop came from 2 years after the Joe Namath thing, when Joe Namath was on Monday Night Football and Bob was doing a segment where he was describing the
okay, because I had no idea where that drop came from.
So that's
can
why
I
we
stick
even had
my
that
tongue
drop.
Down your throat?
And so anyway.
It's a weird thing to ask.
Somehow I told Groobs, hey, I found this drop. And maybe you could use it somewhere on the show. I don't know.
Yeah, the way I remember it is this was like 2 months after I'd taken over with y'all. So this was fall of 2004, maybe winter.
And that's why I thought you were a little more perturbed, because it wasn't like legendary Groobs did something where you knew everybody's going to love Groobs. It was
this
early.
This was like my first big
intern guy who's a part timer, and you're not sure you want him around.
This is Dez not carrying pads.
This guy
shows up and is like,
as a rookie.
Yeah.
So let's go to the luncheon, and here's we're talking to Mia Hamm.
You got Mia Hamm with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. I wanted to ask you a serious question. It's not really serious, but it's the idea of your impact on sports with regards to. Causes. I mean, we see all the little girls here who feel you're a major hero to them and so forth. But also, we got the soccer cause. So I'm almost wondering,
can I stick my tongue down your throat?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm wondering which cause is...
I
I can't tell you how much I love everything about
this. And he's back there. He's safe.
A guest.
I was so safe.
Right.
Yeah. Like, a drop during a
guest. And we're out there alone.
Dude.
And here's Bob. And Bob had told us all this is like one of his big heroes. Like, he loves her. He's a big fan.
And I remember that's how you presented it to me. And you said, I don't know if y'all tried to have Mia Hamm or someone else on a few months before when Psycho Dave was on the board, but that's how you cornered me and said, hey, play this drop if you get a chance. And
what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I cornered you. And
well, you didn't corner me, but
I probably just said, hey, I got this drop, and if it ever comes up.
If we get a chance.
I didn't say I'm the Mia Hamm.
No, you said that morning.
Oh, really?
That morning.
Ordered the code red?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I certainly don't remember this, but I also don't remember a lot. So I made it.
Wow.
And we were very excited when it happened.
I am hearing about this for the first time.
Yes, thanks, everyone, for coming to the final show.
But I do love the reactions of all three of y'all. Mia's clearly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Bob says, stop it. And then Dan giggles. It's just glorious.
But I don't remember being involved in planning it.
Yeah.
But,
the under-talking, stop it, like I could scold him like a mom at church looking down the pew at her kids. I think I tried that with the Dirk thing, too, didn't I? When you played the Hitler thing?
I don't I think on the air you kind of...
Knock it off.
You had to play it off. Yeah, like, oh, this isn't cool.
But I know. What would Ham search to get Dirk Hitler?
Start with Hitler. And then see all 7,000 results you get when you search our
all
computer.
That fall between noon and 3. Oddly enough.
Boy, I've always thought it was kind of a joke when you say the board op is Dan's little minion until I heard this story. And now I'm like, I don't really remember him specifically telling me anything.
There's just a tint of plausible deniability, too, where he's actually ordering it ahead of time and then shrugging at me like, I can't control these guys either. This is the end of Usual Suspects right now.
That's a different me, Bob. I've changed a lot in the last few years.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like 17 years ago.
That's right.
We're all different people now.
We are. That's amazing.
Right?
Well done. Well done.
I love y'all.
How's the Dirk Hitler search coming?
So anyway.
There's like 200 Bob Hitler references in here.
Bob?
Well, no, Dirk Hitler. Boom. Not Bob Hitler. Dirk Hitler.
Oh, we got it?
Yeah.
All right.
That one's a long one, though, but whatever.
You guys play it.
The biathlon guy is famous.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
you would grow up somewhere.
So what's the list?
A biathlon guy.
Schumacher is definitely up there. Even though the last year he had wasn't very good. You know, he took a little hit there. But before that, I mean, he won like 6 or 7 world championships.
He's listing off great Germans.
Oliver Kahn. Kahn is up there. Bollock is up there.
Bollock.
Yeah,
Michael Bollock. So
Bollock.
Top five. We got... Can I put you
top
in there?
Five, yeah.
Sure. Or top five.
Oh, you have to.
Well, I would. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting right across from you. But I'm just saying I don't want to get it wrong. You live in Germany, so you know. But it's Dirk, it's Schumacher, it's Michael Ballack, it's Oliver Kahn. Who rounds out the top five? The biathlon guy?
You can hear him. I stop it.
Boris Becker in there. Short one.
Go back a little bit. Just a little bit there.
I don't want to get it wrong. You live in Germany, so you know. But it's Dirk, it's Schumacher, it's Michael Ballack, it's Oliver Kahn. Who rounds out the top five? The biathlon guy?
Stop
it. All right, there's no way I ordered you to do that.
No, I was the lone shooter on that.
No, I own the Hitler deal.
It's a very subtle Hitler. Do you think that Dirk understood?
He probably didn't even hear it.
I don't think he got what the drop was. Like, it's spelling it out. You know?
He may not have.
Right, he can't spell Hitler.
When we went to go interview Dirk.
We're using our special code with Dirk.
Like you do
saying,
front
it would
front
take
of the
you
dog,
a second
T-R-E-A-T.
When we went to go interview Dirk for 15 for 15, the only note he had on Dan was, Dan always has the Hitler joke.
Loves Hitler.
Oh,
make a name.
Golly. Hey, TC.
Yeah.
I think we are trying to book you for a ticket round table. So we need to talk to your agent.
Okay.
See if you're available.
Yeah, I'll check my schedule.
Okay. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you.
What's that going to be about?
Stuttering?
I mean,
hell yeah.
Probably more to give Regonk its full due.
Oh.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Does anybody remember Regonk? Come on.
Yeah.
Regonk. Sorry, TC.
No, you're good. I did not come out here thinking that I was signing up for something else.
Hey, they probably won't mention Ragong.
They probably forgot all about that by now.
Yeah, they respect me now.
Yeah, once you won...
I'm a father.
Once you drove that hog up to the square...
Yeah, now we're square.
A sickly, live, you caught a hog. I mean, I can never say you didn't catch a hog.
Would you have still paid up if it... gave out while I was sitting in the parking garage waiting?
Absolutely.
Or taking the pulse of the hog. We have his little arm out.
Don't you die on me.
But you went out, you caught a hog. Would you guys stay here for Why Today Doesn't Suck?
I don't know. Would anyone want that?
Yeah. Oh, does he know how to work a crowd?
He knows how to work crowds now.
What a ham.
How's the crowd hanging in here?
It's 10 till 3 on the ticket.